The Firehouse Follies are made possible by Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises with minor assistance from WFHB Community Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is WFHB Ace News reporter Fawn Sanity, coming to you live from downtown Bloomington, where the bike traffic on the sidewalks has become so thick and furious. We're here for what has been described as a definitive press conference to clarify policies on traffic and the safe movement of people in the downtown area. Someone is climbing up on the stage. Maybe now we'll see what this is all about. I just need to get into my rightful position up front, center stage, where the action is. Hey! Hey! Out of my way! I'm going to kneecap you, Buster! Ouch. Oh, my. It's Sarah!
Sarah Palin?
No, 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 the other Sarah.
Sarah Huckster Panders?
Huckster Panders. I didn't know she was working here in Bloomington.
Some of you are probably surprised to see me here. I bet you're wondering if I'm moonlighting for the city of Bloomington, as if some libtard Democrat would hire someone with my impeccable pedigree.
So what are you doing here, Ms. H.P.?
Only someone from the fake news would ask that question. But since you ask, the president has grown increasingly upset about the presence of bicycles on the sidewalks of your whole town. And he's decided to do something about it.
The president? What's he got to do with sidewalks in Bloomington?
Well, just what part of president for life do you not understand, young lady? Pursuant to recently signed executive order number 5216/F1 of 6590, the president has run unarmed onto the mean streets of Bloomington, pulling himself at grave personal risk to restore order.
How does he plan to do that?
I can't comment on that. I haven't spoken to the president about it. I can say that he loves me much more than Rex. I'm here to introduce the under vice chairman of federally mandated city policies, who will tell you what to believe. Please welcome his under vice chairmanness, Mr. Rye Whiskey.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Sarah. As you should have been saying, what we've got here is a failure to communicate. Some men just can't be reached when we're talking about bike traffic in the People's Republic of Bloomington.
But isn't that up to the city?
Young lady, these matters are far too important to be left to the people whose lives they might impact. There has been a problem with older people feeling threatened by bicycles on the sidewalk when they're trying to hobble around, and we hear their pathetic ancient geezer voices.
Some have complained, I hear.
Yes, that's right. So we worked out a compromise.
What kind of compromise?
Henceforth, and in the future, the sidewalks will be reserved for people using walkers, canes, and age-appropriate mobility skateboards.
Yeehaw! 23 Skidoo!
From the hours of 6 a.m. until 10 a.m. when the geezers retire for their naps. Bicycles shall be permitted on the sidewalks from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m., at which time the sidewalks will be open exclusively to students coming and going to and from bars and mobile dining experience centers. Finally, People's Park shall be reserved at all times for tactical maneuvers by the city's new military-grade non-military armored command vehicle.
Has everyone agreed on this?
Well, no, but there was a vote. Our proposal won by a huge landslide, biggest majority ever.
Can you tell me what the vote was? How many were in favor of it?
Well, I can't. Information on city decisions is classified.
So what can you tell us?
Well, there's only one thing here that hasn't been redacted.
And what would that be?
Live from the Wycott Trick Fickle Dutton Auditorium, it's the Firehouse Follies!
Good afternoon and welcome to The Day the Music Died, Firehouse Follies Spring 2018 Radio Variety Show Extravaganza. Coming to you live from the Ivy Tech Waldron Weikart Lang Morris Carnegie Auditorium in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana. Our musical guests today are Tim Grimm and the Family Band. That's right. Yes, indeed. Also here are the WFHB Gospel Girls and the faithful Firehouse Rounders. In all their array. As always, we'll be featuring the tasteful humor of the Unusual Suspects radio acting troupe with Tony Brewer on sound effects. Today's show is made possible by Ivy Tech Community College with assists from White Rabbit, D'Angelo's, the Potbelly Sandwich Shop, and Azip Pizza, and special help from Barb Lund and Farm Bloomington. Let's start with the Girls and the Rounders with a song we dedicate to those enthusiastic young folks who aren't afraid to tell the world what they believe.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
This little light of mine, ooh, 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 ooh.
WFHB Gospel Girls and the Firehouse Rounders, ladies and gentlemen. And now, unfortunately, it's time to introduce a couple of guys whose lights are growing dim, but are still on, Richard Fish and Colonel Mike Kelsey.
Thank you, Dan, it says here. I don't know why, but you just made me remember one of my old flames. I can't even remember her name. I'll have to listen to that record again by Spike Jones. Good afternoon, everybody. Colonel Kelsey, I understand we have a very interesting show planned for today.
We do indeed, Richard. We do indeed. But before we talk about the show, there is something I would like to bring up from the recent news.
Oh, not more political stuff, I hope. Now, really.
No. That, even though that is just about all you see in the recent news. But this is about an old topic, Amelia Earhart.
Oh, yes. You may have heard. I understand that scientists feel pretty confident that her remains were discovered some years ago on an uninhabited island.
That's right. They found bones, which modern science suggests were almost certainly those of Amelia. And they found a bottle of Benedictine, which she was known to carry with her on flights. There doesn't really seem to be much doubt about it.
Oh, so now we can be sure that she didn't wind up somewhere in the Bermuda Triangle, along with Elvis, John Galt, and Jimmy Hoffa.
For years, Amelia Earhart had a special spot in the collective imagination of the American people. I have asked the Gospel Girls to give her an appropriate send-off. Take it away, girls.
There's a beautiful, beautiful field far away in a land that is fair. Happy landings to you, Amelia Earhart. Farewell, First Lady.
Thank you, girls. And while we're at it, Richard, let's also say goodbye to a great man, the late Stephen Hawking.
Oh, yes. A great man indeed. Maybe now he can attend his party for time travelers. Did you hear about that one? He sent out the invitations the day after. So what do we have to look forward to in time for this show, Colonel Kelsey?
Well, First, there's a pie.
Oh, yes. American Pie, right?
The American Pie, yes. Something like that in honor of the song, American Pie, one of the longest songs in rock and roll history.
Oh, yeah.
We have asked local potter Barb Lund to donate a handcrafted pie pan, a beautiful pie pan it is, and Chef Daniel Orr from Farm Bloomington to bake a pie in it. We have raffle tickets on sale. You hear that, folks? We have raffle tickets on sale, and we'll award both the pie and the pan to the lucky winner at about 5 p.m.
Toward the end of the show here, yes. Well, that sounds real tasty.
We also have some tasty musical treats from an old friend of WFHB, Mr. Tim Grimm. Ooh. Who is here today and dwarfed by his sons. Mr. Tim Grimm is a part of that family band, of course, along with his wife, Jan Lucas Grimm, and the sons, Connor on bass and Jackson on any of the numerous musical instruments that he plays.
Yes. I see nepotism runs in the family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Probably the first public appearance Tim made in Bloomington after moving back to southern Indiana from a place he refers to now as Hollyweird was on my show early one Wednesday morning many years ago. Since then, he has had the number one song on folk radio in 2014, in 2016, and in 2017. And the number one CD in 2017, which is an absolutely wonderful CD. So, folks, please welcome Tim Grimm and the Family Band.
Here's a story about Woody Guthrie in New York City in 49. He had a landlord that took his money, every nickel, every dime. Now Woody came from Oklahoma. He knew the people, he knew the land. He told their stories, he shared their hard times, joys and sorrows of every man. Some folks believe that life's a circle. What's gone away back around. But if you give it more than you've taken, your feet will soon be glory bound. Now Woody's landlord, and this ain't no bunk, he was the father of Donald Trump, making fortune and buying land. Let the rich get richer from the poor man's hand. Some folks like greenbacks and property. Status quo is a place to be. It's the same old story, like Woody said. Some men will rob you with a fountain pen. Some folks believe that life's a circle. What's gone away comes back around. If you give in more than you will soon be glory bound.
JFK.
as he grew older, he lost his way. The dark clouds rolled, the truth asunder, and a righteous few, they pulled him under. What's black is black, what's white is white, tells you who to love, tells you who to fight. We mostly know what he's against, the narrow vision of Mike Pence. Some folks believe that life's a circle, what's coming your way comes back around. If you give it more than you take it, your feet will soon be glory bound.
Thank you, Jack.
Nice to be back over here in Monroe County, crossing the line, Bartholomew, just over into Brown, and over the hill to make it over here to the radio show. First time that both the boys, Jackson and Connor, have joined us on the radio show. Of course, Jan is lovely as usual. We're going to do one of the very first songs I wrote after we moved back to Indiana when these guys were about old enough to start school. This is back in the day when we decided we had the choice. They could be raised and go to school there in Los Angeles or in the rolling hills of Brown Bartholomew County. So it's called Better Days. Let me just check that. Check it well. Jack's got the mando up there. There we go. There we go. Farmer Jim had the baler, and I had the hands and had the time. He was up into his 70s. And I was in the middle of my prime. And I was bringing back my childhood. He'd been doing this all his life, driving that old John Deere tractor, eating lunch brought by his wife. And they'd rest under our maples, and they'd tell me of their past. Lost a son and lost a grandson. One went slow and one went fast. Ruth would tell me of the old times. Men would go off to the field, and all the children and the women would
hitch the team and driving down to the woods. Me, I'm trying to learn the old ways, the hardening of the land, the people growing old together, the families working hand in hand. So I will watch and I will listen. Voices cracked and faces worn with age. And when they're gone, Lord knows I'll miss them. They give me hope for better days. Amos Chestnut is my neighbor. And all his life, an honest man. Well, I stepped up to his door, a stranger, and I walked away a newfound friend. When he works out by the roadside, people slow and wave a hand. Watch his life pass by his open farm, but I don't know a richer man. 'Cause he knows every creek and holler, and every fence post dug by hand, and where the pawpaws grow, where the coyotes roam, where the dirt turns into sand. Me, I'm trying to learn the old ways of the hardened of the land, the people growing old together, the families working hand in hand. So I will watch and I will listen. Voices cracked and faces worn with age. When they're gone, Lord knows I'll miss them. They give me hope for better days. When they're gone, Lord knows we'll miss them. They give us hope for better days. All hope.
Thank you so much.
Tim Grimm and the Family Band, ladies and gentlemen. They'll be back for another set later in the show. But now we would like to salute the life and career of Rooster Ratchet, the controversial but always interesting lead singer for the Americana group calling itself the New River Creek Still Ramblin' and Gamblin' Boys. Now, Rooster tragically passed away last week when he dove off the levee, only to discover that the levee was dry. Rooster was best known for his song, Barfin' in the Morning. That's a tune that went straight to the heart of a huge audience, underserved in the music business, living primarily in fraternity houses across the country.
Well, I'm barfing in the morning, just like some damn fool, lying on the ground in a pool of my own drool.
Yeah, man, like when we first heard that song, we were like, wow, here's a guy who's singing like to us in the frat houses. I mean, nobody really realizes how like marginalized and alienated fraternity culture is. But Rooster, well, Rooster, he understood us. He knew where we were coming from, you know? And he was real Americana. I mean, that's really, really real, man. I mean, really, really real.
Rooster Ratchet was born Irving Hoopengrouper to an upper-middle-class family in New Jersey. Here he is discussing his early days with radio interviewer Terry Close.
Rooster Ratchet, that's a stage name, right?
Yeah, I was once Irving Hoopengrouper. Never much liked that name. Hey, Terry, are you related to Glenn Close? Let's go out after this is over and see how close we can get.
Mr. Ratchet, Rooster, please, let's stay on point.
All right.
Hoopengrouper is an unusual name. Where was your family from?
Oh, we were Irish Jews. The original name was Muck Hoopengrouper, but the guy at Ellis Island shortened it when my great-grandfather came to the States to escape the matzo ball blight of 1871. My grandfather went to Jersey and got rich taking bribes, and his brother moved out to Trevlack, Indiana. Started an emu farm. Family stuff, you know. I didn't mind Hoopengrouper, but I hated the name Irving. I knew I was destined for better things.
Irving's sister, Sarah, remembers all that well.
Better things? Irving, what can I say? It was a schmuck. Oy vey, did he have chutzpah? All those shekels and his family gets bupkis in the will. We went through about 7 or 8 chickses and a bunch of nannies because he was such a putz. He'd hold his breath and kvetch till he got what he wanted. I saw him on stage once and it all came back to me. Oiving, holding his breath and kvetching.
Back to the Terry Close interview.
You went to an Ivy League school?
Yeah, but the family sent me to Harvard. But it was a disaster for me, and well, Harvard hasn't been the same since. We didn't fit. Hey, Terry, let's go out for corn pone and grits after we're done here. I've got some Boone's Farm, too.
Let's stay on track. Isn't Harvard where you got your musical career started?
Well, technically, they'd already kicked me out. But yeah, that's where it started. Yeah.
Johnny Flatulence, the band's bass player. Johnny recalls the early days.
We all thought Rooster was cool after he barfed on the dean's desk and got expelled. He could barf and I could fart. So together, me and Rooster, along with Saul Belansky on drums and Anthro Daisy Jack on the lead guitar, started calling ourselves Ivan and the Headless Chickens. Never worked out, though. We didn't have any musical focus. Then Anthro got inspired. He'd been listening to some Americana band, and he thought we could pull that off.
Anthro Daisy Jack.
The problem was we was all from New Jersey, and you needed someone from the South to be a true Americana band. It turned out Rooster had once spent a couple of weeks at a North Carolina camp for angry rich kids. We figured that was enough.
Billy Bob Faulkner, a well-known cultural consultant to the music industry and recognized expert on all things Southern, takes credit for turning the New Jersey boy into a Southerner.
Uh-huh. Hard me to make this feller, Irving Hoopengrouper, sound like a Southerner. It's tough. He never really caught into the way we-ins talk, but I was able to get him to use words like corn pone, grits, collards, and waffle house. But his heart wasn't really in it.
Here's Rooster at an early performance right after he started linguistic training.
Hey, yeah. Thank you, folks. Thank you. You've been a good audience for a bunch of goyim. Mazel tov.
Plum pathetic. But I kept working with him anyway. We changed the name to Rooster Ratchet and changed the name of the group to the New River Creek Still Rambling and Gambling Boys. And they made a big breakthrough.
Yeah, man. Oh, dude, I really love the NRC SRGBs. And like Rooster, you know, like he was real and authentic, really authentic and authentically real. And he was a Southerner, you know, grew up in real dueling banjos country. He just oozed true Americana.
It's generally agreed that what pushed the NRC SRGBs to the top happened when they were opening for the hit rage band Stormy Sunshine and the D-Cups. Here's a clip from that show.
Stormy, just trying to get everyone to look inside that D-cup is all.
Rooster, you haven't got enough money to get me to strip.
Oh, come on, Stormy, be a sport. Everyone wants a look, right, folks?
Get out. Get out of here, Rooster, you're drunk.
Of course I'm drunk. That's what they pay me for.
Sure, I remember that show. Stormy hated it, but it got big-time headlines. We toured with her for weeks, and then Rooster came out and did the thing he does every show, and he'd have stayed with it, but Stormy got paid off.
So we needed a new shtick. About that time, some kid bit the head off a live chicken during a show. Rooster had been talking about doing something like that for a while, but this kid beats him to it.
So Rooster decides to bite the head off a live possum. But really, but the hillbilly who was supposed to get us a possum got us a porcupine instead.
Yeah, I mean, how are we supposed to know the difference?
That really had to hurt. But I remember we had to cancel 3 or 4 shows just so they could get the quills out.
Ow! Ow! Oy vey!
Just as it appeared that Rooster and the NRC SRGBs would go down in history as another run-of-the-mill animal head-biting rock band, they recorded one of the few songs that Rooster ever wrote, Barfin' in the Morning. It catapulted Rooster and the boys to the top of the fraternity Americana subgenre.
What? Yeah, I read a review of that song in No Depression. Cheered me right up.
I probably should have learned to just say no. But the vodka came on fast and the gin, it was slow. So I'm barfing in the morning and like some damn fool, lying on the ground in a puddle of my own drool.
Oh, man, he was like singing right to us, you know what I mean? The man had some serious soul, I'm telling you, dude. He was really great.
Yeah, Rooster didn't write many songs. To tell the truth, he was a rotten musician. But that's why he was so successful. There was none of that fake music BS with Rooster. He cut straight to the chase. When he acted drunk and obnoxious, it's because that's what he was.
The fraternity circuit eagerly lapped up the drunkenness and belligerence. But it took a toll on Rooster, who started living his image.
It was like he had to do what people expected him to do. He would say, "People need me to be this way." And he drank a lot more.
Yeah, and before long, something like 17 emergency rooms on the East Coast had do not resuscitate orders on him.
Whatever his faults, Rooster had a significant amount of influence on young musicians in the Americana field. Here's Rock Star.
Right. So, I first heard Rooster for the first time
it was inspiring, right? I mean, I figured if he could do it, so could I. So, right? So I set out to get my own piece of Americana pie. And this is where it's gotten me. Right? I owe it all to Rooster.
So today, friends, let us pause for a few seconds of silence for the late, great Rooster Ratchet, who proved beyond a doubt that a good shtick beats talent in the music business any day.
Well, I'm barfing in the morning, just like some damn fool, lying on the ground in a pool of my own drool. I probably should have learned to just say no, but the vodka came on fast, and the gin, it was slow. So I'm barfing in the morning, just like some damn fool, lying on the ground in a pool of my own drool. I've wasted all my life, and I don't care what they say. I once threw up on my wife, that's why she went away. So I'm barfing in the morning, just like some damn fool, lying on the ground in a pool of my own drool. Folks ask me all the time why I live my life this way. I'll be lucky to see 60, that's what they all say. So I'm barfing in the morning, just like some damn fool, lying on the ground in a pool of my own drool.
On our last show, we featured some of the so-called girl groups from the rock and roll era. Today, we'd like to move back a few years to look at three of the sister groups that flourished from the 1920s through the 1950s.
We'll start things off with the Brock sisters, the earliest and least known of the three. These three sisters, Lorraine, Bobby, and Patricia, were born in Tennessee, and their last name was Brock, and not Brocks. They got their start in vaudeville and changed the name to Brocks because it fit better on theater marquees. They started appearing in Broadway plays in the early 1920s and sang many of Erling Berlin's songs during this stage of their careers. Later that same decade, they moved to Los Angeles and appeared in a number of films. Let's listen now as the Gospel Girls and the Firehouse Rounders perform their 1924 release, Red Hot Mama.
One in town, you can search for miles around, but no one can be found like this one. She has a smile, will open your eyes in a certain little way, and every time that I get nearer, I look at her and say, red hot mama, red hot mama, you're the one I need. Red hot mama, you're some charmer, yes indeed. I claim that you should be in the Follies, hot tamales. You have a pair of eyes
just like old Svengali's.
I confess that you possess the sweetest charms in town, and unless I miss my guess, the boys all follow you around.
You make a music drop his fiddle,
make a bald head
red hot mama, red hot mama, sweetest girl in town.
I've got a plan, a marvelous plan that a
figured out last night. You just let me put you right. That never have I been as clever as when I thought that I'd purchase a ring for a pretty little hand. And instead of buried nickels, I'll have it monogrammed. Red hot mama, red hot mama, you're the one I need. Red hot mama, you're some charmer, yes, indeed. I claim that you should be in the Follies, Hot Tub Mommies. You have a pair of eyes just like old Svengali's. I confess that you possess the sweetest charms in town. And unless I miss my guess, the boys all follow you around.
You drive most any man insane.
You make Casey Jones Records railroad train. Red hot mama, red hot mama, sweetest girl in town.
Went to the North Pole but couldn't stay.
You melt the snow and the ice away. Red hot mama, sweetest girl in town.
Well, we switch now to a better-known group, the Andrews Sisters. Maxine, Laverne, and Patty are associated with Boogie Woogie and the Swing Eras. They began their recording career in 1937 and were popular until they disbanded in 1953. They tried a comeback in 1956, but found that rock and roll, that new kid on the block, was now king, and their music was no longer as popular as it'd been. Now, the girls and the Rounders present their version of the jazz standard, In the Mood, recorded in 1953.
Mr. What you call him, what you doing tonight? Hope you're in the mood because I'm feeling just right. How's about a corner for a table for two, where the music's mellow with some gay rendezvous? There's no chance for romancing with the blue attitude. You've got to do some dancing to get in the mood. Sister, what you call them, that's a kindly idea. Something swing-a-dilla would be good to my ear. Everybody must agree the dancing has charmed when you have a certain one you love in your arms. Stepping out with you would be a sweet interlude, a builder-upper that would put you in the mood. In the mood, that's it, I got it, in the mood. Your ear was spotted, in the mood. Oh, what a hot hit, be alive and get the jive. You got to learn how. Hep, 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 hep like a hepper. Hep, 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 hot as a pepper. Step, 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 step like a stepper. We're mugging, we're hugging, we're in the mood now. Mr. What you call them, all you needed was fun. You can see the wonders that this evening has done. Your feet were so heavy that they hardly could move. Now the light is feathers and you're right in the groove. You are only hungry for some musical food. You're positively, absolutely in the mood. Sister, what you call them, I'm indebted to you. It all goes to show what good influence can do. Never felt so happy and so fully alive. Seems the jam and jumping is a powerful jive. Swingaroo has given me a new attitude. My heart is full of rhythm and I'm in the mood. In the mood.
That's it, cause I got it and I'm
in the mood.
Your ear will spot it when you're in the mood.
Bobbity bop bop bop. Be alive and get the jive, you got to learn how. Hip, hip, hip.
Your hip like a hepper full of
pep, pep, pep.
You're hot as a pepper and you step,
step, step.
You're stepping like a stepper.
We're mugging and now we're hugging, cause we're in the mood.
The McGuire sisters, Christine, Dottie, and Phyllis, were born and raised in Ohio. They were heavily influenced by the Andrews sisters, and Patty Andrews once said that the McGuires became a real band after they stopped imitating the Andrews. They had a big number of hits, including the song Sugar Time,
which was recorded in 1957 at the beginning of the rock era. Here are the Girls and the Rounders with their version of the number one hit, Sugar Time.
Concludes our music history class for this show. In case you were wondering, there will be a quiz. Some of you are doubtless wondering why we have not included the Boswell sisters in this tribute. The Boswells greatly influenced the Andrews sisters and recorded some really wonderful material of their own, and we'll devote a whole segment to them on the next show. Now, let's look in on the members of the Ladies Auxiliary.
If you need an auxiliary,
auxiliary,
a great auxiliary,
auxiliary,
then the Ladies Auxiliary,
auxiliary,
is a great auxiliary. So if you need an auxiliary,
auxiliary,
the Ladies Auxiliary,
Ladies Auxiliary.
Susan, Gladys, I am so happy you're here. This is going to be so much fun.
Oh, Shelly, when you called, I said to myself, isn't that just like Sally, always thinking of the needs of others?
That's right, Shelly. You're just amazing. I had no idea how we were going to get our hands on the latest and non-military, military-grade weaponry for our community that is so sadly lacking. And then you had it. A bake sale! It's just brilliant! And if my oatmeal raisin cookies can do one small thing to enhance our offensive readiness, then let me add it!
Oh, that is so sweet of both of you. But really, it's just common sense, isn't it? We've worked so hard together all these years to create a safe and civil community. Mm-hmm. There are bike trails, quality schools.
Ow, ow!
And even a world-class university.
Woo-hoo, yeah, a little fire.
The one thing that's always been missing is a non-military, military-grade command structure that projects overwhelming force to any and all potential threats.
That's so right. And what's our motto?
Peace through strength.
We're going to make Bloomington great again. 3 cookies at a time. What do you think, Susan? 2 oatmeal raisin and 1 chocolate chip? Or 2 chocolate chip and 1 oatmeal raisin?
Well, I made snickerdoodles. How about 1 of each for $1?
Oh, perfect!
I knew I could count on my 2 dearest friends. By the end of the day, I believe we'll be looking at some major acquisitions.
But how will we know what to buy?
Now, Susan, you're putting the cart before the horse. We get to go shopping!
Oh, boy!
We need to find out what the U.S. military is getting rid of and then find a new purpose for it at the community level.
Like I tell you, Susan, Shelley is always one step ahead.
Yes, and I happen to have an updated list of decommissioned military weaponry, and I've made a copy for each of us.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Oh, each one has a full-color photo.
Oh, and look at those rocket launchers. But why are all of them olive drab? Don't they have anything in orangutan orange? That's huge right now.
Well, look at what else they sent us. A 2-for-1 coupon.
Buy 1 armored mobile command center, get 1 free. But Shelley, what will we do with 2 non-military, military-grade mobile command centers?
Well, think about it. If we have a non-military, military-grade armored mobile command center rolling through the streets of Bloomington, how do you think people might react?
I suppose it might make some a little nervous.
Nervous? We're talking a lot more than nervous. Why, they could riot!
Yes, and that's when we bring in the second non-military, military-grade armored mobile command center.
I'm sure you two are wrong. I really can't believe anyone in Bloomington would be upset about the city having a non-military, military-grade armored mobile command center. What could go wrong? Are there any other uses for these vehicles?
Well, I've been giving that some thought. Obviously, we need a good all-purpose vehicle for our preparedness program, but there are bound to be other uses.
Well, what do you have in mind?
Well, honestly, I got kind of stuck there, so I've asked the mayor and a city council person to meet us to brainstorm.
Oh, perfect. When are they coming?
Well, that must be them now. Go let them in.
But they don't know the password.
They are our guests. I think we can let it go this time.
You can't come in unless you say swordfish.
I worry about this breach in security, but okay. Come right in, gentlemen.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Councilperson, we'd like to pick your brains for a while.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Ladies Auxiliary has always been there when the city needed you. How can we help? And swordfish.
This is confidential, of course, but we're looking at getting some non-military, military-grade hardware for the city.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the military is offering a 2-for-1 on armored mobile command centers. But we figure that if we have 2, we'll need to think of some non-paramilitary uses for them. See, look at the pictures on page 3. Can you think of any practical non-military uses for these vehicles?
Oh, my, these are handsome vehicles.
Yeah, certainly the M12-75 Sigma 6-9er shown here could be of great value in turning back what some of my advisors see as an imminent attack from the State House.
Or the attack by Trevlak that we've been worried about.
Oh, yeah.
But you're talking about uses other than paramilitary applications, right?
That's right. Any ideas?
These vehicles here are basically just armored pickup trucks. So they should be able to do anything a pick-em-up truck could do, and maybe a bit more. For example, I bet they'd be good at spreading manure. We do a lot of that. That's something near and dear to the hearts of politicians. Yes, sir.
or for making donut runs.
Right, yeah. I can see us using the PR-17-953 Foxtrot 489 Zebra unit to take VIP visitors for rides around town. Hell, the fact that it's armored might make the potholes a little bit less jarring, you know.
And, Mr. Mayor, think of it. This could end our problem with urban deer once and for all.
Oh, yeah, by golly hook.
So we'll ask for one M12-75 Sigma 6-9er and one PR-17-953 Foxtrot 489 Zebra. It says here they'll take $20,000 off the price if you go without a toilet seat. Oh. Let me see. So that would come to, and then well, we can leave that off. And oh my goodness, that's a lot of cookies.
Hey. We've got trouble, ladies. It's the Girl Scouts.
They're across the street. What are they doing?
They're selling cookies. What is up with that? This is our street.
Hey, I think it's time we left here by the back door.
Again? Why does it always have to be the back door?
Because we need plausible deniability. I'm really stressed out with these calls for more transparency. I've been taking 3 Advil, a glass of Chardonnay, and listening to all 4 sides of the Hamilton soundtrack every night. And I still can't get to sleep. Come on, Steve, let's get out of here. Oh, my head.
Here they come, everybody. Take positions.
Well, if it isn't the ladies' auxiliary.
What's up, ladies? Start any wars lately?
Hey, you're not Girl Scouts. You're men.
Oh, whatever makes you think that.
Well, the beard is a dead giveaway.
And with legs that hairy, you shouldn't be wearing a miniskirt.
Who are you, and what are you doing here in our street selling Girl Scout cookies?
We're the force known as hashtag no armored trucks.
Yeah, that's right. We're men, and we're determined to stop this mad idea of putting non-military, military-grade armored mobile command centers on our streets.
We're going to sell so many Girl Scout cookies that we'll blast a hole right through the market for your warmongering baked goods. And we've got more than cookies. We've got brownies, too.
Yeah, imported.
Imported from where?
Colorado Springs. You haven't got a chance, ladies.
Okay. That's it. Shelly, hand me the walkie-talkie.
Now, Gladys, don't do anything crazy.
Just give me that. Wilco 5-9er, this is Mayhem Mama. Do you copy?
Roger, this is Wilco. Over.
This is a gumdrop surprise, Wilco. Stand by for coordinates.
Gladys, a gumdrop surprise requires triple authorization.
I'm calling in an override. That's latitude 733 and longitude 6577. Wilco.
Your bluffs don't scare us. Yeah. Toss your cookies and leave.
Hey, now, what's that sound?
Is that a Black Hawk helicopter?
Target is locked.
Oh, no, our cookies, what have you done?
Oh, look, Girl Scout cookies are raining from the sky. These sound stale.
I love the smell of cookie crumbs in the morning.
This is a clear violation of the Geneva Convention. You have not heard the end of hashtags no armored trucks.
It was a direct hit, Gladys. You saved the day. Hand me some of those brownie crumbs.
The ladies' auxiliary wins again. Remember our slogan, ladies.
Peace through strength.
If you need an auxiliary...
Auxiliary.
A good auxiliary.
Auxiliary.
Then the ladies' auxiliary.
Auxiliary.
Is a great auxiliary. So if you need an auxiliary.
Auxiliary.
The ladies' auxiliary.
Ladies' auxiliary.
It's 5:03, and you're listening to the WFHB Firehouse Follies, coming to you live from the Ivy Tech Waldron Weikart Auditorium.
This is the tale of two Sarahs. Like so many of the stories in this series, it features the renowned sound effects man, our own Mr. Tony Brewer. Every time you applaud, we take about a dollar off his salary, so applaud again if you would. As most of you know by now, yeah, Tony is the holder of many coveted awards in the world of sound effects. His most recent was the highly coveted Calls of Nature Sound Effects Award. Tony had to submit five effects for this one. The first was a bear heeding the call of nature in the woods. The second was an earthworm who had studied martial arts, taking on and defeating an unsuspecting robin who was about to discover that early birds get the black eye. Third was a rabbit locked in mortal combat with a killer mongoose. And then there was a series of sound effects involving dogs playing poker on black velvet. You there, Tony?
This is my black velvet.
And then the piece de resistance in this series was... was the rendition of a woodpecker, which unfortunately hit a metallic brace used to mount a bird feeder while he was working on a tree to which it was attached.
Oh, my nose!
Well, this award carries a substantial cash prize, which Tony accepted and was carrying off to the bank when his old jalopy, 1933 Dusseldorf Zebra 610. Wait a minute. I think that was a 1934 Dusseldorf Zebra 510 Alpha. Yeah, that one's. They had a distinct whine in their engines when being driven at low speeds.
Why didn't you ever take me? Why did we never leave Tremblac? Why did we never leave? Why have we been as far as you let it?
Anyway, the Dusseldorf broke down on the road. And there was Tony with a substantial cash award in his pocket. So he decided to buy a new car. He kicked some tires, and he listened to the engines of a number of pickup trucks. First was a Saab, which had kind of a Swedish sound. Yeah. And then there was a Renault. And a Volkswagen.
Clunk.
And finally, the Chevy.
Hey.
The Chevy was, of course, because Tony is a true American who values baseball. He was an award-winning pitcher once. And he values hot dogs. He is a total hot dog fanatic who first shoots the cow, then grinds up the meat and stuffs it in the casings, and cooks his hot dogs on the grill even during blizzards. Tony even owns wiener dogs. And, of course, the apple pies, which he makes by rolling out the crust. Chopping up the apples and baking the whole thing in the oven. but he had very little experience with Chevrolets, and he was thinking of buying one when he saw a special vehicle on sale.
Hey.
It was a non-military, military-grade armored command center. Yes. Made from a pickup. Tony decided he really needed that truck to go deer hunting in, so he bought it on the spot.
What?
As he was driving home, he heard the plaintive call of a three-toed sloth, which had just been injured in a knife fight with Sarah Palin.
Help me. I have children at home. I'm dying here.
He rolled in his new vehicle to help protect the sloth.
Wait.
When suddenly, Sarah Palin was attacked by the other Sarah. Sarah Huckster Panders.
The other Sarah. That's right. That's right. I'm here to take on the other Sarah.
They
yeah,
were
you betcha. Pew, pew, pew.
Now, they were apparently
pewing at me.
No.
Okay. Go on.
They were apparently fighting to determine which was the top Sarah in the land. So Tony put some hot dogs on the grill in his new vehicle and sat back to watch. And who do you think won this fight?
Me.
Yes, it was another Sarah, our own Sarah Flint.
Yeah.
Who will now draw the winning ticket for the special American pie raffle. There is a pan with that pie because we are seriously panhandlers here. Okay, you have not received any directions on how to do this. Is that correct, Sarah?
Completely.
Okay. Now, we would like, right now, please put the carrot down for the hamster to get the thing rolling. Okay. Is it, you know. All right, you got that happening. All right. Now, having done that, you can take the carrot away. And you're sure that you have not received any special instructions?
None at all.
You will draw a number, and it will be honest and trustworthy.
Well.
Okay.
It's a number.
And now, tell us the number.
Well, there's a number here, and it's 8157478. Anybody?
There's a holder of it.
Yay.
We have a winner. We would give you the pie now, except that it's too hard to carry around. But we will pack it up at the end. You talk to Becky Staff here, and you will have your new pie and your pie pan. And thanks to Sarah Flint.
Now for a word from Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises.
Mommy, I want a non-military, military-grade armored mobile command center.
A what?
You know. A non-military, military-grade armored mobile command center. They're so cool.
But, dear, what in the world would you do with something like that?
I'd use it to protect myself from Brandy.
Your friend Brandy? Why would you need protection from her?
She's got an M60. If I had a non-military, military-grade armored vehicle command center, I'd be safe. And she'd be civil. And I could make a big mess out of the sandbox when she's playing there.
But, dear, those things sell for $250,000. We can't afford one on my salary.
Then get a bigger salary.
Well, dear, that's not as easy as it sounds.
If I can't have a non-military, military-grade armored mobile command center, I'll go outside and play in traffic until somebody turns you in to the welfare department for being a bad mommy. I want.
But dear.
Well, Mommy, looks like she's on the attack again.
You again? I sure wish I knew how you do that. What can I do? I don't make enough money in my job selling pornographic magazines door to door to buy something like that. And anyway, most people don't even have a pornograph anymore.
Yeah, but you can still find a bunch of old cranks out there. And they... See, we just found one. They are expensive, but they don't need to be.
And how is that, pray tell?
You are in so much luck, Mommy. Fiddle and Joe has a fantastic new product that will solve all of your problems with this little tyke and also with your personal protection, at least until the next show.
Fiddle and Joe? Is he making trucks now?
Well, no, nothing like that.
Well, what then?
These non-military, military-grade vehicles are basically glorified pickup trucks anyway, and you have a pickup truck, right?
Of course I do. Everyone in my socioeconomic class has a pickup. Mine's pretty old, though.
Okay, well, Fiddle and Joe's new product then is just for you. It's called the Do-It-Yourself Armored Mobile Command Center Conversion Kit, or as we like to say, the DIY AMCCCK. That's pronounced dynamic.
Clever, but what's it got to do with me?
It's simple. It comes with bulletproof windows, armor plating, and a whole bunch of duct tape. And with that, you can turn your old truck into a non-military, military-grade armored command, mobile command center just by following the simple directions. Anyone who knows the difference between a tab and a slot could do it.
I guess that rules out my ex-husband.
Oh, please, Mommy, please, please. I want dynamic.
Well, why not? What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, Mommy, I love you. And I love the Second Amendment. And I love Fiddle and Joe, too.
That's dynamic by Fiddle and Joe Enterprises. To solve all your personal protection needs, remember, Fiddle and Joe always has you in mind, at least when he's not thinking about your wallet.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back the WFHB Gospel Girls.
You might wonder why I'm here today, singing upon this stage. Could be fate or maybe destiny. Or is it faith in something I can't see? It was so innocent in the beginning. I was watching YouTube and viewing the recommended. I saw those videos, that's when I fell. And now I have this story to tell. I'd travel far, just for a change. Just to see you again. Now I've searched the web, and I've followed tweets, and I've been on Facebook for nearly a week. I've looked for clues, I've looked for signs, I've looked for places you might hide. Now I'm not a stalker, no, I've got a life, that's true, and I don't mean to cause you strive. Something about you makes my heart weep, and I don't
care what others might think. I travel far.
I travel far.
I travel wide.
I travel wide.
Just for a chance to be by your side.
You'll never know how far I'd go just to see.
The only one following you around, traveling from town to town. You many women and many men, and just like me, they want to see you again. I've been to Georgia,
Tennessee,
Illinois,
how about Texas,
North Carolina, it will be my first time to fly. I travel far.
I travel far.
I travel wide.
I travel wide.
Just for a chance to be by your side.
You'll never know
how far I'd go just to see. Just to see.
Just to see.
Just to see. You again.
Oh, thank you.
Ginger wrote that.
Thank you very much. That was a Who's Your Darling original. It was a song written in the style of bluegrass about my obsession with K-pop. And if you don't know what K-pop is, just see me after the show. I'll tell you all about it. We're going to do a song for you that's a cover.
We've actually done this song a long time ago with our friend Kathy Norton,
who is here today.
As a famous actress.
As a famous actress. I think she's one of the Sarahs.
A wrinkle here, a hot flash there, bifocals next, a new gray hair. I'm watching my cholesterol do kegels
and exercise balls.
I meditate, take calcium. I'm getting paps and mammograms. I limit liquor, ban caffeine, take flaxseed
for omega-3s. 50, my God, I'm 50.
Cosmo used to be the rag for me, but now I read AARP. I'm 50. My God, I'm 50. My IRA now suddenly is
making much more sense.
My head is pounding as I wake. I think I made a big mistake. It seems so harmless at the time. Tequila,
salt, lemon, and lime.
Chocolate martinis. Lots of fun. Then went for a Coke.
Then added rum.
But it's that glass of Chardonnay that put me
on my knees to pray. Barfing, I feel like barfing.
Where's the Advil? Give it here on second thought.
Toss me a beer, I'll go to rehab. Vacation rehab.
If it's good for Lindsay Lohan, then it's
good enough for me.
To stop the nagging from my mom, I put an ad on Match.com. I heard from Steve, an engineer.
He's 41, let's have a beer. He stumbled in, I thought I'd cry. His hand is creeping up my thigh. He's unemployed, but has big goals. The first of which, don't break parole. Check, please, waiter, the check, please. I know it's early to be leaving, but his ankle bracelet's beeping. There's the convent, maybe the convent. That whole celibacy rule is looking better every day.
My kids grew up and got degrees, a CPA and a PhD. They overspent on student loans, so deep in
debt they moved back home.
I turned his room into a den. I turned her room into a den. What do I do? I love my dens. Where do I
put these kids again? Basement, give them the basement.
It may be dreary, maybe damp, but maybe
they will get the hint. It's a basement, a stinky basement.
I will always be their mommy, but
come on, they need to go.
What's this I see? Well, hush my mouth. My body parts are moving south.
That happy hour the night before is not so happy anymore. 41. Try 58. I think he's wanted in 3 states.
Hey, I like to vacuum.
In the nude.
The way they stare, well,
it's just rude. Prozac, I'll take the Prozac.
I used to protest, it was feeling. Now it's
looking quite appealing, and there's Twinkies. Taste good with vodka. Anything I get my hands on just to get me through the day.
Prozac.
Zola. Anything to get me through the day, the day, the whole darn day.
Thank you.
Now it's time for some pie.
How it's gonna be. You're gonna give your love to me. I'm gonna love it both night and day. You know my love and I'll fade away. I love for real and I'll fade away. In a Cadillac, I try to show you, but you drive me back. Your love for me, I gotta be real. For you to know just how I feel. I love for real, and I fade away. I love for real, and I fade away. Thank you. tell you night and day. You're gonna give your love to me. I said, I'm gonna love you both night and day. Cause you know my love, I'll fade away. Cause you know my love, I'll fade away. Know my love and I'll fade away.
Throughout history, towns and cities have had stories that they are not exactly proud of. Trevlak, for example, did not account for itself very well during the great killer mongoose invasion. Andolytic is strangely quiet about scandals in the forgotten history of Joe Palooka. Bloomington, sadly, continues to ignore the day the music died. But our team of crack researchers has worked around the clock to put together a questionable collection of dubious facts just to bring you this story.
My, it's the Bloomington guy. Took his bike down to the Beeline just to get by. His good old friends were drinking craft beer and cry. This might be the day that I got. This might be the day I get high.
You know, Peggy Sue, a long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music made me smile. I just wanted to make people dance.
You did, Donnie, and they were happy for a while.
Jump into my Chevy and let me show you something.
Okay.
It's just a little ways out of town. Okay, here we are.
What's this? It looks like a dirt road along a pond or something.
It's the levee, and the pond is where the music is.
So what's that supposed to mean?
It means we had to invent the pond because the levee can't run dry. It means that we have to have a source for our music. It's our sacred duty to make sure the pond never runs dry.
I never thought about it that way.
Just ponder it. Peggy Sue, everything depends on it.
Oh, Donna.
Oh, Donna. Oh, Donna. Oh, Donna.
I had a girl. And Donna was her name. Since she left me, well, I've never been the same. Cause I love my girl, Donna, oh, where can you be? Where can you be? Now that you're gone, I'm left all alone, all by myself, to wander and roam. Cause I love my girl, Donna, oh, where can you be?
Where can you be?
Oh, darling, now that you're gone, smiles and all my love for you I had a girl and Donna was her name since she left me I've never been the same cause I love my
Donna, where can you be?
Where can you be?
Where can you be? Oh, Donna.
Donna, do you write the Book of Love?
Why, no, Donnie, but I do believe in rock and roll and that music can save our mortal souls, but we have to dance real slow.
Oh, you're so right, Donna. I have my white sports coat and pink crustacean, and I'm ready to hop in the Chevy. Let's get down to the levee.
Oh, it's so beautiful, Donnie.
Yeah, but doesn't it look like the water level is a bit low?
Yeah, it must be this helter-skelter summer swelter fallout shelter weather.
Meanwhile, in a secure hiding place near the levee, the evil Dr. Crass and his toady are keeping an eye on our heroes.
Keep your eyes peeled, toady. We mustn't let them see us.
But boss, what are we doing here? And who are all these kids?
Oh, toady, you cretin. No. Don't you realize this is the levee?
What does that mean, boss? Levee.
Cretin. The levee is the source of these kids' music.
Yeah, but why are we here, then? The only music you ever listen to is Kenny G.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the kids care much for Kenny G.
Oh, that's what's wrong with America today, Tony. And that's why we must put an end to this garbage they call rock and roll.
Yeah.
We can make America bland again. Not to mention that it will make us rich beyond our wildest dreams.
Oh, rich is good, boss. But how can we get rich out here?
You really are a cretin, aren't you?
Well, Toady tries. My analyst says Toady lacks imagination, and there's too much hair on the back of Toady's hands.
On the back? Well, anyway, yeah. I have enough imagination for the both of us.
Oh.
The first step to riches is to drain the levee.
Oh, is that like anything like draining the swamp?
We don't talk about draining the swamp anymore, Toady.
Oh.
That's yesterday's fake news. Today, we must drain the levee.
But why, boss?
When Donnie drives his Chevy to the levee must be dry.
The levee is already dry, boss. It's just a road. Are you speaking metaphorically here, or does Toady have to dig a ditch?
It starts with the ditch. Once the levee is dry, we topple the king, and then we go after the Joker. We'll put him on the sidelines in a cast. We will poison the minds of the marching band so they don't allow the team to take the field. Jack Flash will sit on a candlestick.
Okay.
And we'll get those three guys on the last train to the coast.
Three guys? Mo, Curly, and Larry?
No. No, the kids' three musical heroes, whoever they are. Oh, Toady, it will be marvelous.
Boss, you sound like a raving lunatic.
Thank you.
I thought that was my role.
And I try, but many people fail to understand brilliant, symbolic figures of speech. But you're the only one who would admit it, Toady.
Oh.
That's why I keep you around. Once those three guys are on that train, I can implement my fiendish plan.
A beendish plan? Toady likes beendish, especially with lots of hot sauce.
Cretin, that's fiendish.
Oh.
I will start by starting a record company.
Oh, that's fiendish, all right.
Yes, I can see it now. We'll suck all of the originality out of the music by reducing it to a set of beats and sound waves based on revenue-enhancing musical algorithms. Yes. We'll have pop stars who can't sing, but will change their outfits 5 times during each song. They'll fight with each other in public. Ooh. There will be wardrobe malfunctions. The males will sing far too high. And then they'll sing higher. We'll make millions selling their products. And then, Toady, and then...
Then what, boss?
And then... Oh, how it excites me to say this. Then we get Kenny G off the elevators and back to his rightful place in music. No angel born in hell will break his saxophonic spell. I'll laugh with delight.
If you say so, boss. Whatever you said. But where do we start?
Well, here's a shovel. Oh. I got it from Sarah Huckster Panders. Hmm. That ditch won't dig itself.
Oh, no.
Hello, baby. Yeah, this is the Big Baba speaking. Do I what? Without what? Oh, baby. Come on now, you know what I like. A Chantilly lace that got the pretty face with the ponytail hanging down with a wiggle and a walk and a giggle and a tallo. Make the world go round. There ain't nothing in the world like a big eyed girl. Make me act so funny, make me spend my money, make me feel real loose like a long neck goose, like a girl. Oh, baby, that's what I like. What's that, baby? But, oh, honey, I said, but, oh, baby, you know what I like. A Chantilly lace got the pretty face with the ponytail hanging down with a giggle and a talk and a wiggle and a walk. I said, Lord, I said, made the world go round. Feel my money, make me feel real loose, like a long neck goose, like a girl. Ah, baby, that's what I like. I said, what's that, honey? Pick you up at 8, and don't be late. Oh, but baby, you know I ain't got no money. All right, girl, you know what I like. A Chantilly lace got the pretty face with the ponytail hanging down with a wiggle and a walk and a giggle and a tallo. Make the world go round. There ain't nothing in the world like a big-eyed girl. Make me act so funny, make me spend my money, make me feel reluded like a long-necked goose, like a girl. Oh, baby, that's what I like.
But I need some happy news, and that's the truth, Ruth. The church bells are broken, and lately, not a word has been spoken.
Whatever are you talking about, Donnie? You're not making much sense. You know that our generation may be in one place, but I think we must be lost in space.
It's art, Ruth. You're not supposed to understand it. But speaking of space, hop in the Chevy. I want to go out and check the levee.
Sure, let's go.
Oh, no. Can it be?
Donnie, It's dry. What does this mean?
The music has died.
Oh my, the levee will dry. Will our Chevy be too heavy to rise up to the sky? If the music stops, will we know why? Will we get a piece of that pie? Will we get a piece of that pie?
There's still music on the radio.
Oh, you call that drivel music? All we're hearing on the radio these days is a bunch of pop stuff that will never make the people dance. It'll never make them happy for a while. It will never make them want to read the book of love. The players will never get back on the field.
But what can we do?
Us? We can't do anything. That's a job for... Community Radio Man.
Well, how do we reach him?
Well, that's easy. Get out your rotary dial cell phone, go to WFHB.org, then press the donate button to support community radio.
Aw, can't you do it?
I'm still locked into the 50s. We didn't have cell phones back then.
Okay. It's done. Now, when will... Look, up in the sky, that's no bird.
It's Community Radio Man.
Oh, oh! I gotta work on these landings. Whew. Okay, how can I help you find supporters of Community Radio?
Community Radio Man, the music has died. We need you.
Well, let me just throw this pebble in the levee. By golly, you're right. The levee is dry.
But what can we do?
Do you have any craft beer?
No, but I have this fat...
There's a few bottles on the back seat. Why do you need craft beer?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, this situation was caused by a man we call Mr. Crass. A longtime villain whose level of music appreciation begins and ends with Kenny G. I think he's caused the levee to run dry so he can take over the music world and make a lot of money selling pop drivel and force Kenny G down our throats.
That's terrible. But why the craft beer?
Oh, that's simple, really. You will notice I have taken two bottles. First, I'll just kill this one to give me some strength. Oh, boy. Then I will use the other as a threat to Mr. Crass, who is terribly afraid of anything of high quality. It doesn't have to be craft beer, but that's pretty easy to come by these days.
Well, how will you find him?
Easy. I'll just follow that ditch. Up, up, and away!
He's inspiring, isn't he? And that's not a rented costume.
I just hope he's able to bring the music back.
He'll fly, Mr. Radio Guy. He can stop the crass one, or at least he can try. Those good old boys drinking craft beer will cry. Kenny G only drinks chai. Kenny G only drinks chai.
It's getting better. So, Mr. Crass, we meet again.
Hey, who's this guy, boss? Whoa, that's not a rented costume.
Aha, my old nemesis, Community Radio Man. What pathetic weapon do you bring against me this time?
Only this, Crass one.
Oh, no, it's craft beer. It's got organic ingredients, good taste. You know what effect that has on me. Toadie, Dispatch this man.
He doesn't have any patches, boss.
I mean beat him up.
Oh.
Stop him. Okay. Break that bottle.
Right.
And be quick about it.
Very well, boss. Tony will beat him up. But the bottle must be disposed of properly in the correct recycling container.
Just do it, you cretin.
All right. Yeah. Take that. Oh. And yeah. Oh. And you take that. And set for this. And
poof. Take that. Was that the best you could do, Crass?
Oh.
We had a martial arts studio as an underwriter once. Oh. I learned a good deal. But now, the beer.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, oh, oh. Not the beer. Oh, oh, no. I'm melting. Oh, what a world. What a world. Why can't you use whiskey or rye?
Mr. Crass, your evil agenda has been doused by community radio. And behold the power of craft beer. Just a few drops in the levee. And the water returns. You might want to jiggle the handle. And for good measure, a few more drops will create a series of bicycle paths throughout the city.
Whoa, whoa, hey, look, boss, there's water in the levee, and watch out for that bicycle. Whoa. Ah, boss! Oh, no, is that puddle you?
Glub, glub, glub.
He said you haven't seen the end of us, community radio man. Bad taste always comes to the top. I just have to squeegee him up a bit.
Well, community radio can always skim off the bad taste, Toady. As long as the people give us their support and... Fun drive is coming up, folks. Oh, what's that? It's a message. I must leave you now, and may all of your frequencies converge. They need me in Trevlac. Up, up, and away!
Donnie?
Yes, Ruth?
Donnie, I didn't understand a word of that.
Neither did I.
Me either.
That's why it's so long. Just have a hit on that Colorado Rocky Mountain High you're holding, and you won't care anymore.
Let's take a bike ride.
My, my, it's the Bloomington guy. Took his bike down to the Beeline just to get a good ride. His good old friends drinking craft beer all cried. Someday is no longer dry. Sunday is no longer dry.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Tim Grimm and the Family Band.
Lightning strike back in 47 hit a walnut tree in Indiana in the middle of the field on the old home farm. 13 years before I was born, but my dad was there. He was just a boy, felt the thunder roll, then the hell of a noise. He was in the barn all of 11 in the year of 47. It was 5 more years till he'd get that car, that old Model T that never went far. Well, the tree went down by the near sheep pen. It tore the fence that the ewes were in. So Dad walked out with a saw and a wire and a mud and a rake and his pocket plier. And his pa said, "Boy, what'd you do today?" And my dad said, "Pa, I got caught in the rain, but the cows are fed, got the eggs together. Big tree fell and there's wood together." It took him days to clear the limbs. He knew that job was all up to him. It was after school. He split and stacked. He didn't know then he'd get something back. Well, he got her down to one mighty log. At that point, he had to make a call. He dial Bill Scarlett at the Auburn Mill. Said, I got a log, can you help me, Bill? And they cut that log into many board feet, and Dad shoveled sawdust for about a week, paid the bill, and the job was done. 13 years before I was born. And those boards were stacked and stored in the barn until the year they sold the family farm. Dad counted the rings, 124. When it comes to me, I can just remember an old stack of boards all dark and weathered, how they lay behind an old parked car, that old Model T that never went far. We pumped the tires and they held air. We pulled the T out and the boards were there. We washed the car, we brushed the boards, cut 13 years before I was born. Dad said, let's move these boards one more time. They're staying here in this new shed of mine. I said, Dad, can you spare me two? Didn't I tell him what I was gonna do? Yeah, the big tree fell on my grandpa's farm, and Dad saved the boards for what seemed so long, 13 years before I was born. Well, I drove those boards to a man named Bear near the Ohio River, south of here, and I told him the story about 13 years. He shook my hand and said, I'll give you my best. I'll build a guitar that's not like the rest. Just look at that grain. You can hear the tone. From these walnut boards, so dark and long, we'll make a way to sing your dad this song, 13 years. It's really not so long. Did you ever stop and wonder at the sound of distant rolling thunder? Thank you so much, it's been a real pleasure. We got time for part of one more. Birds fly south, birds fly north, ships that sail from every port. It's a terrible wind gonna lead to a terrible storm. You can batten the hatches and point fingers and blame, sharpen swords for the bastards that snuffed out the flame. You only believe what you already believe. It's our lesser angels, they got too near. The hopes are off counted, worse than we fear. The water's been poisoned for dozens of years, and don't look at the sun in a house full of mirrors. He kept telling us all we were gonna be great, but the lies in his mouth were twisted with hate. We woke up this morning on the wrong side of fate. Now there's a gun to our head and mystery's gone. We have to pick up the pieces and write a new song. We wonder what the hell went wrong. Now he's a businessman in a business suit. He knows nothing about mercy, nothing about truth. The question now is, what are we gonna do? And a barrel full of monkeys walked out on a limb, ran into the tower named after him. We all survived by the hairs of our chinny chin chin. They put the pedal to the metal, spew the thick black smoke. We keep telling ourselves it's only a joke. You only believe what you already believe. We kept telling us all we were gonna be great, but the lies in his mouth were twisted with hate. We woke up this morning on the wrong side of fate. Now there's a gun to our head, and mystery's gone. We have to pick up the pieces and write a new song. And wonder what the hell went on. Being in prison with your own best friend, you only believe what you already believe. You make your own facts, make your own truth, make your own reality for them and for you. Then you do whatever the hell you want to do. Democracy's dead, I've heard some people say. Maybe they just took it and hid it away, thrown down in the dirt beside a dark, deep cave. Sealed with the stone they rolled into place, washed their hands of compassion, poetry and grace. We all bear witness now, we've seen their faces. He kept telling us all we were gonna be great, but the lies in his mouth were twisted with hate. We woke up this morning on the wrong side of fate. Now there's a gun to our head and mystery's gone. We have to pick up the pieces, write a new song, and wonder what the hell.
To Ivy Tech Community College for underwriting this show. Thanks also to Jalen Designs and White Rabbit, and to D'Angelo's Hot Belly Sandwich Shop and A-Zip Pizza for keeping us fed. Extra helpings of thanks to Barb Lund and Farm Bloomington for joining us. And thanks to WFHB Gospel Girls, Suzette Weekly, Ginger Curry, and Sarah Flint. The Firehouse Rounders were Dan Deckard on drums, Carolyn Dutton on fiddle, Ross Martini Eiler on piano and vocals, Jason Bickle on guitar and vocals, Ron Kadish on bass, and Dave Withard as Kenny G. The Unusual Suspects were Mark Blackwell, Richard Fish, Betty Greenwell, Mike Leonard, Kathy Norton, Brian Roberts, Becky Staff, and Tom Trent. Tony Brewer provided sound effects. House sound was by Jim Lang, and radio sound by Jeffrey Sundog Morris. Our technical crew was Marion Conaty, Dan Withard, and Ilza Ackerbergs. And studio engineer was Emily Jackson. Today's show was written by Mr. Stephanopoulos, the Count, and the residents of the Occupy Sesame Street home for Over the Hill writers. Our director was Richard Fish. The show was produced by Mike Kelsey. Our theme song is Firehouse Blues, written by Jason Pickle for WFHB. I'm Brian Roberts, sharing the announcing job with Dan Salvaggi, urging you to save the date of June 3rd for the next Firehouse Follies.